but I thought the turbocharger was destroyed. Rennie told the gang at their clubhouse meeting after school in Robert's treehouse. He had to raise his voice over the radio to be heard. The chorus of Martika's Toy Soldiers was blasting out of the tiny speakers like marching orders. Step by step, heart to heart. And Robert reached over to turn the volume down. After he twisted the knob to the appropriate level, Rennie continued. You know, after the boulder hit your brother's bike and killed...
Rennie,
Chris admonished, shaking his head.
Jesus, king of sensitivity over here.
Not sure what you mean,
Rennie replied, clueless as always, and retreated back into his Nintendo Power.
It's okay,
Robert lied, then attempting to explain.
They found the bike in pieces after that boulder hit, but the turbocharger must have been one of the parts that remained intact. Somehow, Dr. Howard got a hold of it and swiped it.
Always the logic-filled detective of their little club, Chris offered an alternative explanation.
Or repair the leftover parts himself, he said.
He has the know-how to do it.
And besides, didn't he award your brother the first place ribbon in last year's science fair for it?
Right, Robert agreed, rubbing his chin in thought.
He must have been pretty impressed with it to want to steal it,
Chris reasoned.
Or jealous,
Robert said.
I mean, none of his inventions ever seems to work. And my 17-year-old brother beat him at his own game.
Suddenly, Rennie poked his porcine head from behind his magazine, as if he were playing peekaboo.
Isn't it illegal to remove evidence from the scene of an accident?
Rennie asked like a wide-eyed child.
Yep,
Chris confirmed, remembering a similar detail in an episode of Miami Vice, his favorite TV show.
I guess that makes Mr. Howard a criminal,
Robert said.
Dr. Howard,
Chris mocked in their teacher's snobby voice. Besides being an armchair detective, Chris was also the resident impressionist of the group. Of the three, he had an uncanny gift for mimicking other people's voices, especially those they didn't like. They laughed at Chris's impression of their conceited teacher, just as Robert's mother called her son down for dinner.
You better go, Rob,
Rennie warned, finally placing his Nintendo Power down on the small pile in the corner, before your mom has a conniption fit.
But aren't we going to do something about this?
Robert asked.
What can we do?
Chris wondered aloud, helpless. Robert got up to dramatically switch off the radio, interrupting Madonna singing about Romeo and Juliet. Once he knew he had his gang's undivided attention, he gave them his answer.
We go into that closet tomorrow and take it.
Chris and Rennie simply looked at each other, dumbfounded, and then turned their attention back to their leader.
What?
They both exclaimed.
It's only right,
Robert replied, somewhat pretentiously.
It was my brother's invention, after all. We already acknowledged that Howard stole it.
Doctor,
Chris began.
Stop that.
Robert cut him off, annoyed.
Robbie!
Robert's mother once again called just outside the treehouse, her tone increasingly irritated.
Come eat your dinner before it gets cold. I made your favorite, meatloaf and lima beans.
You like lima beans?
Rennie asked in a disbelieving tone.
No,
Robert protested, a little too loudly, blushing.
Then why did...
It's not important.
Robbie!
Coming!
Robert fired back at his mom, getting up.
Listen, I gotta go. But you two distract Dr. Howard after class tomorrow while I go swipe the charger that he swiped from my brother.
He was talking so fast it reminded Chris of the speed-talking Micro Machines pitch man on TV.
Distract him?
Chris asked, also getting up and heading toward the trap door in the center of the floor that led to the tree trunk, with Rennie right behind him.
How? I don't know,
Robert admitted, opening the wooden trap door.
You're the detective. Think of something.